Woo, I hope you're cool. Yeah. I might pray for us, and then we'll get into this. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for church, and thank you for all these people here. We gathered together freely, and with this opportunity now to look at this big question, Lord. We want to know who the true God is, and we want to be able to have confidence in that. And so we pray, Lord, that you would please speak tonight. Speak through your word, speak through me, and Lord, we pray for your spirit to be working, and we pray that you'll keep us cool, and we can take this in, Lord, what you want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in the Bible, we just heard a conversation which was recorded between Jesus and a Samaritan woman. And we kind of picked up a little bit towards the end of the conversation that actually between this Samaritan woman and Jesus is a massive racial and social and ethnic divide. He's a Jew and she's a Samaritan. He's a man, she's a woman. And for our topic tonight, Jews worshipped in their temple in Jerusalem and Samaritans worshipped on their mountain in Samaria. We heard the woman say, "We Samaritans worship on this mountain, so why do you Jews insist that we worship in your temple in Jerusalem?" She's saying to Jesus, "Hey, you've got your way of worshiping God. I've got my way of worshiping God. So why do you insist that I worship God your way? What makes your way right and mine wrong?" And maybe she's saying to Jesus what a lot of us kind of feel today. Aren't all religions equally true and valid? I mean, I have my view of God. You have your view of God. I have my religion. You have your religion. And can't we just say that they're all equally and accept them, that they're all equally true and all equally valid, and not try and then impose our views or our understanding of God on anyone else? So that's kind of the big question we're looking at tonight. Aren't they all equally true and valid? And I've got three parts to my talk. And that's firstly, we're going to talk about, well, why we want all religions to be equally true and valid. And then we're going to look at, well, why can't all religions be equally true and valid? And finally, well, how can I know? How can we know who the one true God is? So first, why we want all religions to be equally true and valid? And I've got two short reasons. And the first one is that it shows tolerance for other people's point of view. So years ago, one of my favourite bands was Under Oath. And it just so happens that Under Oath is playing at the Enmore tonight. And that's where Cheese and I are heading after, and a bunch of mates. And when we bought the tickets to go, I asked my wife, Tara, if she wanted to come to Under Oath with us. And she just kind of looked at me and then rolled her eyes. And so I guess that the heavy breakdowns and the double kick drumming and the screaming of Under Oath just isn't her cup of tea. But she knew that I knew that, and there's no way in the world that she would ever want to go to an Under Oath concert, right? But it goes both ways, because last year driving across country America, we listened to the full greatest hits album of Bon Jovi. Yeah, which actually, okay, a few fans. So that was Tara's sister's choice. And I can go with that. You're Living on a Prayer, great song, very biblical. But that was then followed by a playlist of 21 of the best chart-topping number ones of everybody's favourite country and western heartthrob, Keith Urban. Oh, beautiful. Let's just say country music's not my cup of tea. And it's actually not Tara's either. But when I protested, I was kindly informed by the majority that it is appropriate to listen to country music whilst driving country America. Which, okay, I get it, but one song would have been plenty for me. But that's how a relationship has to work, right? It's give and it's take. I have my views, you have your views. And sometimes, maybe when it comes to music, we just have to tolerate each other's different points of view. And I think many of us, when we talk about these things, it's not like when it comes to music, my view is superior and Tara's or others is inferior, or mine's right, hers is wrong. They are just different. And I think many of us want to say the same thing when it comes to religions. Right? It's not as though my religion, my view, is superior and yours is inferior. Mine's right and yours is wrong. They are just different. And so why can't we all just accept that they're equally true and equally valid, and then we can just get on and not try and impose our views on others? And so the payoff then is this. If we can tolerate each other's different points of view, especially on religion, then that means we can all share the same classrooms, workplaces and homes happily together. Muslim, Buddhist, Christian, Hindu, we can all live in the same suburbs, swim at the same beaches, eat at the same takeaway shops, and we're not blowing each other up, we're not riding in the streets, but we can learn and benefit from each other's different diverse points of view. And these, I think, are all values that most Aussies hold very highly, right? We have a diverse community, and so we want to make sure everyone is accepted and included for who they are. And so when the religious person comes along and says, well, hey, my way is the one true way. My religion is the one true religion. Well, they just sound so narrow-minded, bigoted and intolerant. So that's the first reason why we want all religions to be equally true and equally valid, because it shows tolerance for other people's points of view. The second reason that we want them to be equally true and valid is that they all look like different ways to the one same God. So there's a famous Indian parable, and it's about the elephant and the blind men. It goes like this. There's an elephant in the room and a bunch of blind men. And one blind man grabs the elephant's tail and says, hey, I know what this is. It's a rope. Another blind man, he grabs the elephant's leg and says, hey, I know what this is. It's a tree trunk. Another one grabs the elephant's trunk and says, hey, I know what this is. It's a hose. But everyone else in the story knows and they can see it's just the one same elephant, but not the blind man. So they each describe this elephant in their own different ways. And here's the connection. Many of us want to say that all religions are the same, because in the end they are just describing the one same thing with their own different words and ideas. All equally true, equally valid, because it's just the one same thing in the end, one same God. But the parable is actually saying more than that, isn't it? Because in the story, all the men are blind. So what it's saying is that when it comes to religion, we are all blind. That is, we're blinded by our culture or our upbringing or our background. And so the way it usually plays out is you're born in Thailand, you're a Buddhist. You're born in India, you're a Hindu. You're born in the Middle East, you're a Muslim. And you're born in Australia, well, traditionally, you're a Christian. And so we get together and we describe God in our different ways. Why? Because we've all been blinded by our culture, our background, where we brought up, our upbringing. So that's the second reason why we want them to be equally true and valid, because it's saying that what we're doing in the end is we're just describing the one same thing with the words and the ideas and the concepts that are based on our culture and our upbringing and our background, right? So, that's why we want them all to be equally true and valid. Those are two reasons. But I realise even then, just as I'm speaking, some of us might start poking holes in the argument and not that keen. So, let's move to the second part, and that is, well, why can't all religions be equally true and valid? And I've got two short reasons. The first one is, it's actually a very arrogant and patronising thing to say. So, what's wrong with the story? the blind man and the elephant? Well, it's that we've got a room full of blind men. And they're each describing this element. They're saying it's a hose, it's a trunk, it's a rope. Whilst everyone else can see that it's actually an elephant. Why? Because they can see what these blind men can't. And so what it is saying is that every religion in the world is blind. They are blind, and so what they are trying to do, they're trying to describe this elephant, but they can't really see. But everyone else is so enlightened and so wise, and in the end not blind, and so they can actually see what all of these religions can't. That in the end it's an elephant. Or in the end it is the one same God all these religions are trying to figure out. Okay? So, if that's true, what it means is I can then go to the Muslim and say, hey, you Muslims are worshipping the same God the Christians are worshipping. And then the Muslim would say, no, we're not. And then I'd say to the Muslim, oh, no, you are. Yes, you are. Just trust me. I know your religion better than you do. I can see what you can't see. They're all the same. You're worshipping the same God. And then I'd go over to the Buddhist. Hey, you Buddhists are worshipping the same God the Hindus are worshipping. And the Buddhist would say, no, I'm not. And I'd say, oh, look, yes, 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 you are. Just trust me. I know your religion better than you do. I can see what you can't see. In the end, they're all the same. Which none of us would ever do that, right? No way. How that is so arrogant and so patronizing. We wouldn't do that. And actually, when we say that, you know, when we say one God, many gods, it's all the same. Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, it's all the same. We see resurrection, you say reincarnation, it's all the same. In the end, we're actually just, we're only talking about the vague idea of a God, a loose kind of concept of a God. We're not actually talking about a real, actual, personable God. And maybe we'd want to argue that on a superficial level, yes, religions are the same because they kind of look and feel the same. You know, they believe in a God or gods. They pray and they want to do good things. But actually, when you get to know them, you realize that they are very, very different. Fundamentally, they are very, very, very different. The God of the Bible is very, very, very different to Allah of the Quran. Which brings us to our second reason why they can't all be equally true and valid. And that is because all religions make exclusive claims to know the truth. So this is a depiction of Gautama Buddha. I don't know, I'm sure I got the name wrong. But Gautama Buddha, he is the founder of Buddhism. And he was born in India and he was raised a Hindu. He was following the Hindu religion. That was his faith. And he followed it until he was so moved by the innate suffering in humanity that he rejected two of the foundational truths of Hinduism. He walked away from the Hindu faith. He rejected it, and then he went and famously he meditated alone for an extended period of time under the Bodhi tree until he reached enlightenment. And then he discovered the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path, and the end of desire. No, I get that one wrong every time. The removal of desire to end suffering. That was his issue early on, suffering, right? The removal of desire to end suffering. And there it is, the founding of the Buddhist faith. And so right then and there, we have a clear example of why they can't all be equally true and valid. Because they make exclusive claims to the truth. Belief in one requires rejection of the other. Gautama Buddha, rejecting Hinduism, cannot subscribe to two of the foundational truths of Hinduism, walks away, comes up, is enlightened, comes up with Buddhism and their teaching. Religion's formed. Similarly, Jesus Christ said about himself, I'm the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is right there making a claim to exclusive truth. He is saying there is only one way, one truth, one life. And it is not found in Buddhism or Hinduism or Islam or any other religion or cult or New Age self-constructed spirituality. There's just one way, one truth, one life, and it is found in me. I'm in it. So, there we have it. We've said that all religions aren't the same, and they can't be equally true and equally valid. One requires rejection of the other. So, how can we know who the one true God is? Well, if we go back to the elephant story, the problem is, in the story, it's saying that we're all just fumbling around blindly, trying to find what we cannot see. But what if, in the story, the elephant could talk and say, "Hey, I'm an elephant"? Then we would know. And that is the Christian claim. We can know. We can know who God is. Why? Because he speaks to us. He has spoken to us most clearly, most obviously, and most completely by sending his son, Jesus Christ, into our world. In that story, Jesus and the Samaritan woman, you can kind of sense the woman, she's getting kind of frustrated. You know, you have your temple, we have our mountain. In the end, who cares? What's the difference? Your God, my God, it's all the same. How can we actually know what's true? But she actually says to Jesus in verse 25, if God were to send a Messiah to tell us, then we'd know. In fact, she says it like this: I know that God will send a Messiah, and when he comes, he'll explain. We can know the truth through him. And then Jesus says to the woman, I am that person. I am the Messiah. Here I am, and now you can know the truth about God. You can see God. But how do we know Jesus is telling the truth? Well, if I were to say to you 1 + 1 = 2, true or false? True. Today is just too hot. True or false? True. All right, easy. Easy, because we can get our phones out and do 1 + 1 = 2 on our calculators. We all know it's hot. I'm drip, like, it's terrible. It's easy to believe those things to be true because they're publicly verified. We can just see them, we can feel them, we know them to be true. But what if I say to you, last night I had a dream about a talking grasshopper? True or false? Don't know. What about if I said, last night an angel appeared to me and said, get a haircut? True or false? What about if I, last night I said to you, last night God spoke to me and said that he would definitely go to under a concert, but not a Keith Urban concert. True or false? So if you don't really know about those things, right? They might have happened. It might have been true. I might have dreamt about a talking grasshopper. You can't know. It's my claim. It's private and it's personal. There's no evidence. There's no witnesses. How can you know? It's not publicly verifiable. And that, I think, is the issue with the religion question. It always seems so personal and private. I speak to God, God speaks to me. It's private, it's personal. How can we know? How can we verify it? And this is the thing. Here it is. Unlike any other religion in the world, Christianity is not based on a private, personal claim. It's based on a publicly verifiable claim. And that is that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into our world. 2,000 years ago, walked this earth. He was a male Palestinian Jew, spoke Greek and Aramaic. He said things, he did things, he died. And then 3 days later, he rose again, resurrected. And right there is where it either stands or falls, right? All of Jesus' claims about himself, what he said he would do, what he said he was, it either stands or falls at the resurrection. There's no fudging that one. But here's the thing. The resurrection, there were hundreds of eyewitnesses. 500 eyewitnesses. It was recorded then by multiple independent sources, reported accurately and consistently, passed down from generation to generation. We can see the evidence today. It is backed up by Jewish, Greek, Roman, Christian and non-Christian historians. And then following Jesus' death and resurrection, 11 out of 12 of Jesus' disciples willingly gave their lives. They were killed for speaking about this death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They willingly gave their lives. They were beaten, they were burned, they were stoned, they were speared, they were beheaded, sacrificed, crucified, crucified upside down. And then following them, hundreds more martyred in an attempt to silence this story about Jesus and the spread of his movement of his followers. And this explanation makes the best sense, that Jesus really did die and then rise again. It makes the most sense of that early history, of our history, the 2,000 years in the world since then. And at the very heart and at the center of it all is a publicly verifiable event. Jesus' life, death and resurrection. The claims to who he is backed up by his life, death and resurrection. We can investigate it for ourselves to find the truth for ourselves. We can know who God is. So the religion question is hard. It's hard to know who's what is true. But Jesus says, I'm going to make it easier for you, because if I show up and I tell you about who God is, and then if I die and then rise again, then that is a publicly verifiable event. You can put my words and me to the test. You can see it. You can write about it. You can pass it on to your children's children. You can know the truth about God. Let's wrap up. I think deep down, you know, we all want everyone to be able to worship God and know God in their own way. You know, we want everyone to be able to be accepted for what they believe and who they are. We want that to be true, I think. But as we've heard tonight, well, that can't be true. Because if God is not just an abstract idea or a concept, but if he is real and if he is personable, then the facts do matter. So tonight, some of us met Tim for the first time, right? Possibly. If I were to say to you, oh, hey, I know Tim, he's married to Avril, his baby's Ella, and they're hoping to go back to Africa soon. You'd be like, yeah, okay, Punch, you know Tim. But if I were to say, hey, but I know the real Tim, he's actually a North Korean astronaut, and when they disappear in a few months, they're going to Mars to colonize it. You'd all be like, nah, you don't know Tim at all, which is fair call. Why? Because when it comes to real people, the facts do matter. And in the same way, every major world religion agrees. When it comes to God, the facts do matter. One God, many gods, it's all the same, just doesn't cut it. And in Christianity, we see that God is so real, so personal, and so loving that he would send his son Jesus into this world, because he actually wants us to know him, and more than that, have a relationship with him. And Jesus' death and resurrection is the way into that relationship, because that's where Jesus died on the cross, bearing our sin, to offer us forgiveness, to bridge that divide between us and God. That means we can know God and we can have a relationship with him through Jesus. And that is the central message of Christianity. Without that, there's no Christianity. Everything stands and falls on that. And that the great strength of Christianity, it's backed up. It's a publicly verifiable event. We can have confidence and assurance in this message of Jesus Christ. Because it's not a private personal claim. It's not an epiphany or a moment of enlightenment, but it is a publicly verifiable event, not a fairy tale or bedtime story. It is a rational, reasonable, historically based event, evidence-based event. We can know the truth. And we can investigate it for ourselves. We can find that truth. And when we do, it actually calls us to make a response to Jesus. If he is the God who made us, the God who then came to us so that we can know him, and then ultimately the God who died for us so we can have a relationship with him. And you can see the evidence for it in his life, death and resurrection. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with those claims of Jesus? Will you believe? Will you enter into that relationship that he wants with you? And if your answer is no, what are the consequences? If your answer is yes, what are the consequences? Important stuff. I'm going to pray for us. Finish. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you are not a silent God. You are not this abstract force or being out somewhere in the universe, but you are real. You are personal. That you came to us because you want us to know you, and that you love us so much that you actually would die for us, your son Jesus, so that we could have a relationship with you. Father, for those of us who are still searching, who still have questions, who still aren't sure, Lord, please prompt us to investigate the truth. We thank you that our faith, that Christianity, is not based on a private personal claim, but a publicly verifiable event that Jesus really did live, die, and then rise again. For those of us who are Christians, who do believe this, who are living in a relationship with you, Father, we pray that this would give us confidence, give us that assurance that we need each day, that we're not just living, believing a fairy tale, but it is truth. And Lord, continue to grow our relationship that we might know you better. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.